And the sugya that we're starting now is going to last probably for at least a week. And again, I try to guarantee that every shiur is a separate unit as best as I can, but we're gradually building up blocks here. And the sugya that we want to cover today, but again, it's going to be a kickoff of about a week's learning, is called Mechias Amalek. So if you'll take a look here, you'll see on page Resh Yud a section called Mechias Zecher Amalek. And what we're going to study today, at least in the first part of the shiur, is the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos. And he has a very unique shita about the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek. Now, what would be helpful, I'm afraid to use this because I think there are pages missing here.
The Shabbos one, definitely.
Yeah. So look, if somebody would just, as a chesed, just open up to two places, the last psukim in Parshas Beshalach, and the last psukim in Parshas Ki Teitzeh. So then we'll compare and contrast the two parshios as we go along. But as far as the smag is concerned, we're going to emphasize the psukim at the end of Parshas Ki Teitzeh, the last few psukim. Okay, thanks, Rabbi. I appreciate this. And what it says here is V'hoya B'aniach Hashem Elokecha L'cha Mikol Aivecha Misaviv Ba'aretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein L'cha Nacha L'rishta. That pasuk is what we're all waiting for, almost every second of our waking hours. You know, when Hashem will finally free us from all the adversaries that surround us. You know, I think this pasuk is so relevant today. It just speaks to us in contemporary life here in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what happens at the end of this whole parasha? Baruch Hashem, we've gotten rid of all our enemies, misaviv. Then it says, Timche es Zecher Amalek. Now, Timche es Zecher Amalek is written in the Lashon Tzivri, in the mandate. It's obviously a mitzvah that's incumbent upon us to blot out the memory of Amalek. If you flip backwards, you rewind to the end of Parshas Beshalach, there the Melchama against Amalek takes on a slightly different presentation. And the Torah says, Ki mocho emcha es zecher Amalek. That's the next to the last pasuk in this parasha. And then in the last pasuk of the parasha, it says, Milchama Lashem ba'amolek. If you notice, again, it's almost on a superficial level, even before you get into detail here, on a deeper level, there's a fundamental difference between Parshas Beshalach and Parshas Ki Teitzeh. Parshas Beshalach is God's promise. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and then it says Ki Mocho Emche es Zecher Amalek. God is talking in the first person, and he strengthens it by saying Milchama Hashem ba'amalek. You know, if I didn't have Parshas Ki Teitzeh, I'm not sure if I would be able to be justified in deriving the conclusion that there's a mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Hashem is promising what's going to happen. Then I open up to Parshas Ki Teitzeh, and then it's a whole different emphasis here. And that is Timche Zecher Amalek, that we're enjoined to destroy Amalek. However, and this is where the Smag takes off with his gigantic chiddush, the entire mitzvah of Timche Zecher Amalek is predicated or it's introduced with the following preliminary introduction. V'haya which probably means "and when." At least that's the way I think the Smag would read it. And when Haniach Hashem Elokech Lecha Bikol Eivecha Misaviv, you know, we've gotten the point where we destroyed all the enemies that surround Eretz Yisrael. Then go ahead, Timchez Zecha Amalek. Comes along the Smag, and he says, "You know when that's going to come to pass? Bimos Hamashiach." And here's where the Smag comes up with his radical formulation, and you'll see this on the bottom left of your page, and it's the Lotas Aresh Chavav in the Smag. Now, notice in brackets, we'll get back to this a little bit later, that Hagos Maimonios quotes the same halachic conclusion in his commentary on the Rambam in Perek Hei Milchus Malachim, so just keep that in mind as a footnote. It's going to surface a little bit later. That mitzvahs mechias hamolek einin oheges ad yimos hamashiach.
And yet that's only when it's relevant.
Correct. It's irrelevant today. If somebody were to tell you, Harvey, according to the Smag, that today you're obligated, if somebody would say in front of the Smag, let's say, that you're obligated to destroy Molech today, the Smag would say, get out of here. We don't want to hear such a thing. Because the Smag's opinion is that this mitzvah is postponed until V'haya b'niach HaShem Elokecha mikol eivecha misaviv, which means after Mashiach will come and will fight the battles against all our enemies. Now we go ahead and we destroy our Molech. But until that point, there's no mitzvah of destroying our Molech.
Yeah.
Okay then, so if you can keep these two open, because in case we need it later, I don't know how you do that, maybe just slip something in here. Now, the Radbaz, in his commentary on the Rambam, quotes the Smag under the language of Ra'isi Misha Kosav. In other words, he doesn't identify the Smag by name, and he says, I have a tyuvta, which in Yiddish we would call an upschlag, because, you know, there are two words in Shas for a question. One is called a kasha, and the other is called a tyuvta. A tyuvta is a TKO, you know, completely smashed out of the ballpark. That's a, don't even think about finding an answer. That's called tyuvta. And the Rabbaz, with his how shall I say, gumption, has no inhibition in saying against the Smag, I have a tyuvta on the Smag. And what's the tyuvta that's going to knock the Smag out of the ballpark? It's the parsha of Shmuel and Shaul. Shmuel tells Shaul to go out and destroy Amalek. Again, what Shaul does with that tzivui is another question, but that's not for us today. But nevertheless, you see clearly that the mitzvah of Amalek, of destroying Amalek, applies even before Mashiach. In other words, Mashiach hadn't come yet, far from it. And what's the Smag going to do with this parsha of destroying Amalek, in the case of Shaul HaMelech, when the Mashiach hasn't come yet? Obviously, the mitzvah of Achias Amalek applies way before Yimos HaMashiach, and we're going to have to reinterpret that pasuk at the end of Kitetze of V'haya Banichacha Hashem Elokecha Misaviv. Okay, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But the bottom line is that we have an upslug here on the Smag. It's impossible to accept the Smag that the mitzvah of Machias HaMolech has to be postponed until after Mashiach comes, when Shaul HaMelech was commanded in the mitzvah of destroying HaMolech. Now let's leave that question for a moment on the back burners, and let's ask another question. This question that we're about to ask is a question on Rashi, a Rashi which doesn't seem to make much sense, and that's going to be a question on Rashi, but Rashi contradicts himself. In addition to the question, Minei Ubei, as we say, the Rashi makes no sense, there's another Rashi that contradicts that Rashi. Okay. Where is this very, very strange Rashi? It's in the Parsha of Shmuel and Shaul. There in the Parsha of Shmuel and Shaul, Shaul gives the mandate to Shmuel to destroy not only the Amalekim, meaning the human beings, but also to destroy the animals.
And the animals.
The animals. Says Rashi, you're ready for this. You're lucky, Harvey, that you're sitting, because if you were standing, you would fall off your feet. Rashi says no. The mitzvah is to destroy Amalek. Shmuel says destroy the animals of Amalek. The answer is the animals are Amalekim as well. Says Rashi, how is that possible? Because the Amalekim were experts at Kishuv.
Kishuv.
Now, to translate Kishuv, I don't know, you call it black magic, I don't know what word you want to use, sorcery, whatever word you like. You know, if you don't know where to find a word for it, you'll have to ask Walt Disney. It is animated movies. And whatever it is, Rashi says the Amalekim are experts at Kishuv. And they can appear, they can change and transform their appearance and appear under the guise of human beings. I'm sorry, under the guise of animals, but they're really human beings. So go out and destroy the animals because those animals are Amalek.
Yeah.
Very strange. Because the Mechilta tells us, as we'll soon see in Parshas Bo, that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek applies even to the animals. And not only that, Rashi himself in Parshas Ki Tetzeh tells us that we have to destroy the animals of Amalek. He doesn't say anything about Kishuv over here. Rashi says, quoting the Mechilta, this is the last Rashi in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, Timcha Secha Amalek, Me Ish V'Yad Isha, Me Olel V'Yad Yonek, Me Shar V'Yad Seh. Shaloyeh Shem Amalek Nizkar Afil Al Behema. Lomer Behema Zu Mishal Amalek Kaisa. You know, this is the Amaleki's camel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you look at the camel and you say, oh, this camel used to belong to an Amaleki, that already means that the Shem Amalek is still on our lips. We have to obliterate the Shem Amalek. We have to therefore destroy the animals. But Rashi doesn't say anything here about Kishuv to say that we have to destroy the animals because they're really Amalekim. On the contrary, the Amalekim already smashed. But you look at the Gamal or the Shar Adseh and you say, well, this Shar was an Amaleki Shar.
Animals can pick up nitiyot of their owners, though. If you're mean to your... You know, so there is.
Well, we have belligerent animals that have to be put to death under certain conditions. That's called the Shar Miskal. But again, Rabbo said, listen carefully to the two problems we're raising in Rashi. Problem number one is there's no reason to assume Kishuv. If Shmuel commands Shaul, the name of God, to destroy, to battle against Amalek, the mitzvah Machias Amalek, then Shmuel understands that this mitzvah encompasses not only the human beings but also their animals. Well, why does Rashi feel compelled to say no, these animals are not really animals, they're really human beings in the form of animals? And number two, Rashi contradicts himself, because Rashi says the reason why the mitzvah Machias Amalek at the end of Parashas Ki Tetzeh includes the animals is not because these animals are really Amalekim, but because this is the way we remember, hey, this animal belonged to Amaleki. So why does Rashi feel compelled in the parasha of Shmuel and Shaul to invoke this Kishuv business? Why does he just say that the reason why Shmuel commanded Shaul to destroy the animals is because that is the nature of the mitzvah Machias Amalek? Now, Rabosa, if we put two and two together, let's go back to the Radbaz's upshlag, his tiufta on the smag. And the Smag says that the mitzvah of Machias Amalek doesn't apply until when? How then could Shmuel command Shaul in the mitzvah of Machias Amalek? The answer is that Shmuel did not command Shaul in the mitzvah of Machias Amalek. He couldn't have done so, according to the Smag, because it was before what? Before Mashiach. So what we have now is some sort of facsimile of Machias Amalek, but Shmuel is not giving Shaul the real Makoy mitzvah of Machias Amalek. It's a separate mitzvah that was given by Shaul through Nevuah to Shmuel, and it has its own rules and regulations. One of which is, according to Rashi at least, destroy Amalek, meaning the human beings of Amalek. That's not the mitzvah of Machias Amalek. The mitzvah of Machias Amalek could not possibly exist because it's before, according to Smag. Again, we're assuming now a gigantic leap of faith that Rashi accepts the Smag. It couldn't exist before because historically we were before Yemos HaMashiach. Oh, so then we have to assume that there's some other entity here of destroying Amalek that's not the real McCoy. It's not the real mitzvah of Machias Amalek because that couldn't exist at this point in history. Oh, within the context of those new rules, it's a mitzvah to destroy Shaul HaMelech, who's getting from the Novi, a mitzvah to destroy the Amalekim. So Rashi says, but why did Shmuel add the kill the animals? Ah, that, those are Amalekim. You think that they're animals, but they're really Amalekim. And at this point, we want to read the Rambam. Take a look on page Resh Yud Aleph, and you'll see the Rambam on line number 6. Let me just make sure if I'm counting correctly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, it's interesting. What we're seeing now is a translation of the Rambam's, what they call Judeo-Arabic, because the Rambam wrote his Pirush HaMishnayos during his youth. I don't even know if he was 30. And this is a super commentary on Mishnayos. And sometimes what's even more exciting about reading the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos is reading his Hakdamos, his introductions. In his introduction to Mishnayos Seder Zroim, he writes, quote, and Zeloshono, again when we say Zeloshono in translation, V'yitzavet Sivuyim, he's talking about the authority of a Navi. Now Rabbos, say, listen carefully. Does a Navi have the power, the authority, to introduce a new mitzvah?
No.
Absolutely not. That's called Lo B'Shamayim. I'm not going to tell you what we do with such a Navi if he claims that he has a new mitzvah to add to the 613. Says the Rambam, but v'yitzavet tzivuyim v'yesar isurim b'dover she'eino min haTorah, he does in fact have authority to command us or enjoin us from Isurim that are not written in the Torah. Why is that allowed? What about Lo B'Shamayim He? Kigon, for example, says Ram, Sheyomar, he lochamu al ir plonis. Go out and fight a battle on ir plonis. Okay? Against a certain city. This is called Rabosai, a tzivui lefi, what's the next word, everybody?
Hashah.
Hashah. Excellent. Excellent. Lefi Shah, otherwise known as a Horas Shah. Right? If you open up the Encyclopedia Talmudit, which we don't have here, but on the Horas Shah, you'll see a long essay on Horas Shah. So it comes out like this. If the Navi comes and he has a prophetic revelation and he tells you there's another mitzvah I want to add, we owe him void. We got to get rid of this Navi. Because he's overstepping his bounds. But if he says to you, I have a Rosh Shah, and it could be that he'll be Matir or certainly Isur on one particular case, but more often he's going to add a mitzvah that's not codified in the Torah, but only Lefi Shah, he's allowed to do so. Oh. Now the Rambam gives the following examples. Says the Rambam, Kigon Sheyomar, he lachmu al ir plonis. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to go out to battle against a particular city. And it's a rasha. The Navi can tell you. We have to go out and destroy a certain city. Oh, here's the Rambam's second example. Im uma plonis. Go out and destroy a certain nation. Kimbaho. Whoa. Are you ready for this one? Kamoshet Siva Shmuel Lishol Lihilachim Im Amalek. How could the Rambam say such a thing? If Shmuel is coming with a divine revelation, a prophetic revelation to tell Shmuel Shaul to go out to battle against Amalek, that's the mitzvah of what? Bechias Amalek. That's not a Rasha. In other words, what Shmuel is telling based on the prophetic vision is that now's the right moment. You know, Hashem, go out there, Shaul. You were placed in a very unique position, the first Melech of Israel, and destroy Amalek. Why does the Rambam call that Ha Rosh Shah? Notice, the Rambam feels compelled to justify how could Shmuel have the authority to command Shaul to destroy Amalek? If I was in the Rambam's class, I would raise my hand and would say, Rabbeinu Moshe, with all due respect, but what are you talking about? This is the mitzvah Mechias Amalek. Here's where the Svag will help us. Because what does the Svag hold? That there's no mitzvah Mechias Amalek, Adimos HaMashiach. So how then could Shaul get a command from on high to destroy Amalek? There is no mitzvah to destroy Amalek. The answer is he got it through Shmuel and Avi. And Shmuel has the power, the authority to give Moroshah. L'chor Divrei Rambam Tmuim. Ha'ika mitzvah natorli lochim el molik. That's not a rasha. Ubal korchenu sesvile de Rambam kasmag the mitzvah zu lo noheges ad yimos hamashiach. V'lo ha'yishol mitzvah li lochim el molik mitzad a mitzvah dvechias amolik. Chak shmuel tziva lo boras shal pi nevuah shi lochim imoyen. Okay, so we're going to go through the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah very, very carefully. Okay, but just let's see where we're holding now. We're holding now with a possible breakthrough based on the Smag to answer two major questions. Question number one is, why does Rashi feel compelled to introduce Kishuv into the parasha of Shaul and Shmuel? Why doesn't Rashi just say the mitzvah is L'chiyas HaMolek? And Rashi himself is committed in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, the mitzvah of L'chiyas HaMolek includes destroying the animals of Amalek. That no one should walk around and say, oh, Ben Behema had gevesen the Behema from the Amaleki. You know, why does Rashi and Shmuel need to come up with this whole fantasia of Kishuv? The answer is because Shmuel is not commanding Shaul in the mitzvah of L'chiyas HaMolek. This is a whole new harasha that works according to the regulations here. And Rashi says that if you look carefully in the parasha, you'll see that the command was to destroy Amalek, not the animals of Amalek. Again, this would not reflect the universal mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, but if Rashi holds like the Smag, this is not the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Now we can answer another major question. Why does the Rambam say, as an example of harasha, that Shmuel commands Shaul to go out and destroy Amalek? That's not harasha. That's the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, a classical mitzvah. But the answer is, if Rambam holds like the Smag, at least the Pirush HaMishnayos, you know, the Rambam might change his mind later, but we'll read the Rambam carefully and we'll see that it could very well be that the Rambam, even the Mishnah Torah, holds like the Smag. Okay, that's going to be really challenging. Then there's no mitzvah Mechias HaMolek. If there's no mitzvah Mechias HaMolek, why is Shmuel telling Shaul to go destroy HaMolek? The answer is that's only Horosh Shah. And if that Horosh Shah is a brand new mitzvah that only applies then, it means that as soon as Shaul, fulfills that mitzvah, then we go back to square one. There's no longer a mitzvah Mechias HaMolek. When will we pick up the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek again? After Mashiach comes, if the Rambam holds like this month. Pretty impressive, Rav Osa.
Is there a difference between lilachim and v'limchot?
Could be. It could be lilachim means to destroy the human beings. That's a battle. And limchos would include even the animals. Okay. So Rav Osa, if you're on board until this point, now we want to go back to the Rambam in Mishnah Torah and see what we could come up with the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So again, let's just point out that if the Radbaz was sitting in the room, we would say to the Radbaz, your tiyufta is not a tiyufta because we all like the Smag. And if we all like the Smag, then the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek is not in force until Yemos HaMashiach. And therefore, what's your kasha from Shmuel? Shmuel is not a case of Mechias HaMolek. Shmuel is a separate Horasha, as we saw in the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnah. Now we get to the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. Now the Rambams in Mishnah Torah are split into two. There's a Rambam. Just 1 second. I think I'm on the wrong page here. Okay, here. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. There's a Rambam in Perek Hei Mehilchos Molochim Halacha Dalid, and that we're going to see on the bottom of your page, the last two lines. You're on Reshit Aleph, I assume, huh?
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we're going to see a Rambam in the same Perek in Halacha Hei, the following Rambam. Now, in order to appreciate the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, we have to go back to the major sugya. The major sugya is in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Amid Beis. And this is the famous sugya called Begimel Mitzvos Nitztavu Lehem Yisrael B'Knisosam La'aretz. So the Jewish people crossed the Jordan, they enter into the land of Israel under the leadership of Yoshua, and now they're commanded in three different mitzvos. Mitzvah number one is Lahamid Lehem Melech. Okay, this mitzvah is going to be fulfilled at the time of Shaul HaMelech. And later on, David and Shlomo. Number two, and we'll see that the sequence here is very important. Lahachris Zaro Shalamolik. Number three, Livnos Lehem Beis Habachira. So Rabosai, in theory, in pure theory, on a conceptual level, a theoretical level, how long would it take to fulfill all these three mitzvahs?
Yeah.
A minute, if you follow what I'm saying. Meaning, again, technically, in terms of the engineering, obviously, till you find the right melech, until you go through the whole process of minui melech, till you destroy a molech, and so forth, till you build the base of a chir, obviously it's going to take some time. But these are the three mitzvos that become incumbent immediately when we enter into Eretz Yisrael. What's missing over here, according to the Smach? Mashiach. There's no mention here of Mashiach. Are you with me, Rabbosai? The Gemara in Sanhedrin doesn't say Begimel mitzvah nitztavu lehem Yisrael im Baha Mashiach. We're not talking about Baha Mashiach. I don't know when the Mashiach is going to come right now. We enter into the land, we appoint the king, we destroy Amalek, we build a Beis HaBechira. The Mashiach hasn't come yet. Maybe we'll need the Mashiach at the time of the Binyan Beis HaBechira, but there's certainly no indication that we need the Mashiach for the destruction of Amalek. So now we have a more basic question here on the Smag. You know, we've just gone as far as saying that the Rambam agrees to the Smag, Rashi agrees to the Smag. Everybody's excited about this Smag. We all embrace the Smag. We're going to wait till Mashiach comes. But the original source in the Gemara, meaning Sanhedrin Daf Chof, where the Gemara establishes the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, mentions nothing about Mashiach. On the contrary, these mitzvos apply when we go into Eretz Yisrael. Now the Rambam codifies this Gemara in Sanhedrin, meaning these three mitzvos that are incumbent upon Klal Yisrael when we enter into the land, in Perek Aleph Mihilchos Melachim Halacha Beis. So we're going to come back to that Rambam a little bit later, because we want to get into the nitty gritties about the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek, which is a Perek Hei Mehilchus Molochim. But again, I don't want you to miss the forest for the trees. In Perek Aleph Mehilchus Molochim, where the Rambam establishes the mitzvah of appointing a melech, he says, and he rephrases the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and says that we enter into the land, we appoint a king, then we go and destroy Amalek, and then we build the Beis HaBechira. All this is codified by the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mihilchus Beis HaBechira. Let's now fast forward to the details of what we're going to do when we enter into the land in terms of Milchama. Now, we have to know that as far as Yoshua is concerned, he has a mitzvah milchama that's radically different than what we're discussing, right? We're not talking about the Gimel mitzvah shenitztavu ben Yisrael b'knisos la'aretz. We're talking about the mitzvah of destroying the seven nations that occupy the land. Okay, if you want to call it the Palestinians. You know, these are the Knanim and the Yevusim and the Girgashim and the, you know, Chivi, Chiti, Amori, and all those guys. So there the Torah says, Lo sechaya kol neshama, we have to completely eradicate these nations. So the Rambam codifies this in Perek Hei Milchus Molochim Halacha Dalid, and we're saying this as an introduction to Halacha Hei, which is the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Because we're going to compare and contrast the Rambam's language in Halacha Dalid to his language in Halacha Hei. So the Rambam writes in Halacha Dalid, which is the last line of your page, Mitzvahs Aseh Lahachrim Shiva Amim Shenema, turning on to the next page, Hachrim Tachrimim, and look what the Rambam says over here. Kol Sheba Liyado Echad Mehem V'lo Hargo Ovir B'lo Saseh Shenema Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. Now, before we get to Amalek, this guy here is a Kanani. Do you see him? Ah, if you don't see him because he's doing Kishuv. But let's say you see him, right? I don't know if the Kanani was such experts in Kishuv as much as the Amalekim. But anyway, this guy is a Kanani. What are you going to do? Kill him on the spot. Ah, you didn't kill him? You violated the Lo Sasev Lo Techai called the Shom. Are we in the framework of a Milchama now? In this particular line in the Rambam? Absolutely not. Because I'm pointing out this Kanani, I'm telling you, he's a no good Kanani. Put him to death, right? And the Rambam says, you have to put him to death. So this is what you call one individual facing a chiyuv vis-a-vis another individual. So it's Yankel Beryl, who's a Jew, and it's this Knani. I don't know a good name for a Knani, because I don't remember the Knanite names. I mean, the only thing I own from the Knanite period is a jug that I bought in what's the name of that kibbutz? I forgot. Anyway, they were selling antiquities. So they claim that this jug that we bought is 3,500 years old. We got a good deal. It costs $100. I don't know what it's worth today. Maybe it's worth a little bit more. And certainly 3,500 years from now it'll be worth more. No, just kidding. Anyway, so that the Knani. So this guy's a Knani. Get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's what's called in the Lundish jargon a chovas yochid, or a mitzvahs yochid. The contrast, the flip side of a mitzvahs yochid is what's called a chovas milchama, which by definition is a chovas tzibur. You can't ask an individual Jew, even Eliezer, Eben Avraham, to go out and battle a milchama. But what you could ask is the tzibur as an entity to go out and fight a battle. As far as the Rambam is concerned, there may be a mitzvah milchama against the Zayin Amid, but in addition to the mitzvah milchama, there's a chovas yachid, which obligates every single Jew to destroy every single member of one of those seven nations that occupy the land. And if he fails to do so, he violates a law of lo sechai kol nisham. Now we fast forward to the very next halacha, halacha hey. And this is the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. And here the Rambam says, "Mitzvah say liabed zecher amolek, shenemar timcha zecher amolek." He invokes the pasuk at the end of Ki Teitze. And here the Gvuras Yitzchak points out that there's a major chunk that's missing in the Rambam. He omits the entire piece that he had in the previous halacha, namely kol shebo liyado echad miyem v'lo harago over b'mitzvah asay. Of Timcha Zecher Amolek, that whole line does not exist in the Rambam. Maybe somebody accidentally pressed the wrong button on the computer and he erased that line, but in any event, the Rambam omitted that line. Now, again, if I were the antagonist, you know, I would say, well, maybe the Rambam relied on what he said in the previous halacha, but I'm just presenting to you his theory. There's no such thing as the Rambam relying on what he said elsewhere. If you want to know the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, says the Rambam, read this halacha. And you don't have to go back to previous halachas. So why did the Rambam omit this line, namely that I have to kill an Amaleki? So I can tell you one thing. Rav Moshe Bixer, Chronel of Racha, you remember him? Did any of you ever meet Rav Moshe Bixer? He was a kanoi, but he was so clever. He was sharp like a whip. He outdistanced, in case kanoos was by far outdistanced the satmar chassidim. He was the final authority for what's called his achdus or rabbonim of America, which is the satmar group of poskim in America. So my father and him were classmates in yeshiva. Again, you can't publicize this, but Rav Moshe Bixer went to YU. Together with his brother Charlie Bick, whose son is Ezra, one of the great rabbim in the Gush. Mm-hmm. So we're talking now about Ezra Bick's uncle, Rav Moshe Bixer, who was the final authority for Satma. So my father said they were sitting together at a wedding, at a chasana, with Rav Moshe Bixer. So it was a different culture, so they were friends and they were kidding around. So my father turns to Rav Moshe Bixer and he says, "Rav Moshe, this guy is an Amaleki. I know he's an Amaleki. What are you going to do?" So Rav Moshe Bixer says, "I'm taking out my sword. I'm going to kill him on the spot." He meant it. This is no joke. He was a kanoi. The only thing is that, at least according to the Gevuras Yitzchak, who's way later than Rav Moshe Bixer, the Rambam doesn't mention what he mentioned in Zayin Amamin, meaning if my father would have told Rav Moshe Bixer this guy's a Knani, then Rav Moshe's response is very well justified. He would have killed the Knani on the spot. But we're talking about an Amaleki. The Rambam says nothing about killing an Amaleki. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah Timches Amalek, and the Rambam says that mitzvah is a mitzvah Melchama. In fact, if you open up the Parsha, again here, I'm standing a little bit, admittedly, on shaky grounds, so don't rely on what I'm saying now as a convincing argument. But at least if you go back to the Shalach, Then a pasuk says, "Milchama Lashem Ba'amolik Vishondom." Okay, leave out the word Lashem for a minute. No. I realize. Look, I'm telling you up front. I'm very honest with you that what I'm saying now is very iffy because I don't know if I can use the pasuk of Mishalach as a raya because the pasuk of Mishalach is Hashem's battle against Amalek. But one thing I can promise you: the word against Amalek is Milchama. Now, again, am I justified in taking that and it made no Indian and placing it into the parsha here at the end of Kitay? Say, obviously, you're going to fight me on that and you'll be right justified for that. But if you'll allow me that sort of literary license here, what I would say is that the parsha back in Bishalach already sets the background for the mitzvah that's codified here in the end of Kitetzeh, namely Milchama. We're fighting a Milchama. Again, Hashem is fighting the Milchama back in Vishalach. We're fighting the Milchama in Parshas Kitetzeh. But it's a mitzvah Milchama. And that's how the Rambam codifies the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. We're not killing every single Amaleki that shows up, you know, in this room over here, you know, take out your sword and kill him. But rather we're going out to battle against Amalek. It's a mitzvah of Milchama. Now, I underlined a few lines that good. Oh, it came out in the photocopy. So if you take a look in the underline, I do this to make life a little easier for us because our time is limited. We can't read every single word. He says, Afal gav de mitzvas achroma zayin amamim mutelis al kol yochid v'yochid mitzvas mechias amolik ave mitzvah mutelis al atzibur. And we're adding a little bit of an embellishment here. Insofar as the mitzvah of Amalek is a mitzvah milchama, the mitzvah milchama is always, by definition, incumbent upon the tzibur. And that's the fundamental difference. Then he tells you that if you open up the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, this is a third book of the Rambam, you'll find explicitly the Rambam mitzvah Resh Mem Ches, that the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Hachrosas Zaro Shel Amalek is a Chovas Tzibur and not a Chovas Yochid. Good. So again, what we have now in the Rambam's frame of reference is the following fundamental distinction. Whereas Zayin Amamim generates a Chovas Yochid, in the case of Amalek, we're talking about a Chovas Tzibur, i.e. a Mitzvah Milchama. Now, we want to look at the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is a good deal later than the Rambam, but he's still one of the Rishonim. We have to take it very seriously. And the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tofresh Dalid has what I call a double mitzvah of Amalek. A double mitzvah of Amalek. What do I mean by a double mitzvah of Amalek? If you take a look, he opens up by saying that the mitzvah of Limcho Zara Shel Amalek is a mitzvah muteles al hatzibur. And then he invokes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that you enter into the land of Israel, you appoint a king. Then the king is going to go out to battle against Amalek. The king is going to round up the troops, the military troops, to fight against and destroy Amalek. We're talking about a Chovas Tzibur. Do you follow what I mean? When you round up the troops, it's a communal obligation. But then he goes on, he says, Ube'emes, and I underline this is all the Sefer HaChinuch, one of the Rishonim, Ki Gam, okay, and, you know, emphasize the word Gam, not just on Purim, you know, Gam Charbon, but even the Gam here in the Sefer HaChinuch, Gam Al Kol Yochid Mi Yisrael, Hazchorim, okay, these are only the male members of Klal Yisrael.
Not the Nashim.
Not the Noshim. Mutal hachiyuv lahargam uli abdom in ma'olam im yesh koach biyado bechol makom u bechol zman im ulai yimtza echad mizaram. You know, he's a little nervous about Bosan Cherev who bilbil is umos here. But if let's say you can clarify beyond the shadow of a doubt that this human being is an Amaleki, then every individual is obligated to knock him off.
Removing the animals at this point.
Okay, we'll see about the animals. Maybe, Phil, you're already anticipating something about the animals, but okay, if you don't mind, I'm just gonna go slowly because my mind, okay. You know, I can only take so much at once.
Okay.
That's the drawback of learning with me. I move at a slow pace. But no, don't laugh. I mean it seriously, you know. So, Phil, hold on to your issue about Behemoth, because we're going to come to Behemoth eventually, but okay. I want to lead up to it, in a logical process. The Rambam seems to assume that the mitzvah of Amalek, in contrast to Zayin Amamin, is a chobas tzibur and a mitzvah melchava. The Sefer Chinuch has in Amalek a double mitzvah. He's got a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the tzibur, and he writes Zos min haMitzvah samutolos al haTzibur kulo. And then he says, "Be'emes gam ala yochid mi Yisrael chayav." Again, he makes the stipulation that number one, it's got to be a zohar, a Jewish male. Number two, he makes the stipulation that we know for sure that this guy is an Amaleki. That's called im ulay yimtza echad mi zaro. Number three, he makes the stipulation that we have to have koach biyadenu. And then he says that mitzvah is relevant b'chol makom b'chol zman. So who does Rav Moshe Bick hold like in the story that I told you? Like the Sefer Chinuch.
Like the Chinuch, not
correct.
The individual.
Correct. So again, you know, I told you before that, you know, Rav Moshe Bick, it seems like a kanos that's out of place, because how can he kill an Amaleki? There's no chiyuv milchama to go out and battle here as a tzibur. You know, Rav Moshe Bick is very good and he's great, but that doesn't mean he has the right and the obligation to kill an Amaleki. But the answer is, according to Sefer HaChinuch, he has a right and an obligation to kill the Amaleki if he knows that the guy is an Amaleki. Again, it has to be, you know, yesh lo koach, you know, biyado. It's b'chol makom b'chol zman, but it has to be koach biyado. So I guess he has a sword, you know, tucked away in his, in, you know, how he dances at the chasid with the sword. That's a different question, but he has koach biyado. Again, I think they're going to lock him up for life for this, right? But I don't know. You know, if you're Rabbi Shabik, I guess maybe you could do some kishuv and save yourself from the authorities. But the bottom line is that the Chinuch has what we call Tzvei Dinim. I mean, this is way before Rav Chaim's Tzvei Dinim. He has two dimensions to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek. Number one is the mitzvah that's incumbent on the Tzibur as a Molcham. And number two, the mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Yochid. What's the source, perhaps, for this Chidush, this breakthrough of the Sefer HaChinuch? And he says the following. The Mechilta at the end of Parashas Beshalach says on the Pasuk Milchama Lashem Ba'amolek, and that means that there's a mitzvah milchama. So what I said before is not totally crazy, because it seems that the Mechilta understood that Milchama Lashem Ba'amolek means that we too are obligated to milchama. That's a chovas tzibur. Where does the From whence, if I could say it that way, does the Chinuch derive this breakthrough shita that in Amalek there's an additional mitzvah gam on the Yochid? Oh, so he says the following. That in Parshas Ki Tetzeh it says, Timche es Zecher Amalek. Here, the Torah mentions nothing about Milchama. It just says, Mechias Zecher Amalek. That mitzvah, according to the Chinuch of Mechias Zecher HaMolek, applies even outside of the framework of Milchama. And it means that every single Jew is being commanded to destroy and blot out the memory of HaMolek. And add to that, that Chazal say that although we're allowed to accept Gerim from any nation, right, but there's one exception. If an Amaleki, and we're going to derive this from David HaMelech, who kills an Amaleki, if an Amaleki comes forward and he says, well, I want to be Mizgayer, or even let's say B'nieved, the Bezdin was Mizgayer him, we still are commanded, and this is based on a Mechilta at the end of Bishal, to destroy this individual. Now, this individual is not showing up in a Milchama, you know, he's not on the battlefield, and we're killing him on the battlefield. Like David HaMelech, do you remember the guy who claims he killed Shaul? Maybe after Shaul fell on his sword. You know, basically Shaul committed suicide, but he wasn't dead yet, and the Amaleki, this Nar Amaleki, boasts about the fact that he killed Shaul. Maybe he meant that he spared Shaul of the misery of dying or of getting caught by the enemies and, you know, whatever. I don't want to go into detail here. But he shows up in front of David HaMelech, and David has him put to death. I don't remember. Did David himself kill him? I don't recall. I have to go over the parasha. Anyway, but he certainly was put to death. So the Mechilta at the end of Parashas Peshat derives from this that there's a chiyuv even on a... Now this particular Amaleki claimed that he was Misgayer. And again, that he was doing this L'shem Shemayim when he killed Shaul. David said, by your own admission, you're an Amaleki, and therefore you deserve to die. Now, he wasn't killed within the framework of what?
Melchama.
So it must be then, and perhaps this is the source for the Sefer Chinuch, that there's a mitzvah to kill every single Yachid, and on that the Mechilta says, even if he's Mizgayer, we don't accept him as a Ger. Now, Rabosei, this is very complicated, because we're going to get to Purim, and we're going to find out, the Gemara in Gittin, that the Bnei Banav Shel Haman are studying Torah in Bnei Brak. Now, I was in Bnei Brak. I didn't find anyone who admitted that he was from Bnei Banav Shel Haman. But there is such a reality. As I state in the Gemara. Now, how can he be learning Torah in the finest yeshivas in Bnei Brak if he's Bnei Banav Shel Amaleki? Because there is no such thing as Geirus with regard to Amaleki. Do you hear the question that I'm asking? Yeah, what do you say, Dr. Joel?
Wasn't the Amaleki guy who killed, wasn't he his sword bearer or something like that?
Yes.
So why didn't Shaul kill him if there's a mitzvah?
Oh, I don't know. That's an excellent question. But anyway, Chazal derived from David Amel. David Amel declares Domchal Roshecha and he puts him to death. Why Shaul didn't put him to death, I don't know. You know what? You can ask the same kash on Shaul in many different ways. Do you know that Shaul spared, according to the Gemara in Yuma, again, in the Pasuk, it's not clear one way or the other, but the Gemara in Yuma says he spared the women folk. Not only that, he spared the ketanim of Amalek. Again, we don't assume so, but there is such a day in the Gemara in Yuma. He not only spared, which is explicit in the Pasuk, Agag, Melech Amalek, he spared a lot of others. He spared the animals. He was commanded explicitly to destroy the animals. Now, if you hold like Rashi, these weren't really animals. But even without Rashi, he spared the animals. So if you ask me why he spared that Nara Amaleki, this is probably not the right answer to your question, but I'm just saying intuitively what I would say is that Shaul HaMelech felt that he's only going to kill those who are guilty. You may remember that the opening line in Parshas Shmuel Shaul HaMaleki, and you'll open up to the Haftorah, you'll see it, is Pakadati Eis Asher Osel Chamolik B'derech B'tzeischa B'tzeischa B'mitzrayim. Shaul, again, I'm not here to justify Shaul because he lost everything, but because of this one mistake. But it wasn't an act of rebellion. He misunderstood. And you know who writes about this extensively? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha. I forgot the name of the book, something Heart and Mind. Does anybody remember the name of Rav Aaron's?
Warmth
of the Heart and the Something of the Mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has an entire chapter dedicated to the Parsha of Shmuel and Shaul, in which he tries to understand why Shaul messed up so badly. And he claims it was all based on that original pasuk, Pakadati. And Rav Aaron develops a whole theory that the word pekida, as opposed to zchira, I think he has a malbim to this effect, means when you remember old actions that have an impact on the present. Like, for example, the Torah says, don't kill the children because of the sins of their fathers, but yet if they're ochzim b'maisav oseihem, then we could hold them responsible for. In other words, the children are, on the one hand, are given a clean slate, Smith, he said it, tabula rosa, you know what I'm talking about? They have a clean, they can start from scratch, but if they continue in the ways of the fathers, they can be held responsible even for the sins of their fathers. So Shaul HaMelech misunderstood the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech. In fact, he argued against Shmuel, not verbally, but mentally, and he thought that Shmuel was adding something that wasn't included in the command from Hashem. Because on the one hand, paradoxically, Shmuel opens up by saying Pakadati, which means I want to see how the past criminal acts that were perpetuated by Amalek against Jewish people are now being repeated. That's the word Pakadati. And then Shmuel says, we'll kill the women and children as well. And Shaul said that's impossible. You can't have both because the women and children are not guilty. All right, anyway, I got off on a tangent. Let me just get back on track for a moment. Because you asked me an excellent question, Dr. Joel, why Shaul didn't kill this Nar Amaleki. But again, his intentions were good. He was a ger, but the halacha doesn't recognize his gerus. He still remains an Amaleki, and therefore he has to be put to death. But the point is that he's being put to death as an individual outside of the framework of milcham. And that might be very well the source for the Sefer HaChinuch, that there are two mitzvahs in Milchama. Oh. Now let's go back to the smock. Let's review the following 3 points. Point number one, the smog holds that the mitzvah of Machias HaMolek is suspended until when? Yimos HaMashiach. Point number two, Shmuel commands Shaul to go destroy Amalek. Now, if we assume that mitzvah given to Shaul is the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, then you see that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek applies even before Mashiach comes. Number three, it seems that the mitzvah that was given to Shaul is a bit of a strange kind of mitzvah, in the sense that the mitzvah applies to the animals, but Rashi says only because of Kishuv. What's that all about? Oh. So now let's go back to the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, if we make a marriage between the Smag and the Sefer HaChinuch says there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek. One dimension is a Chovas Yochid. Destroy every individual member of Amalek. The other dimension is a mitzvah of milchama, and that's a chovas tzibur. If we assume that the smag accepts, I'm sorry, I got it right. If we assume that the smag accepts the Sefer HaChinuch, then maybe what we could do is we could divide the mitzvah of Amalek into two parts, as the Sefer HaChinuch had done, and we could qualify that the statement of the smag only applies to one of those two dimensions. And that's what he suggests over here in the paragraph that starts Ulefi HaMavur, and he says the following. He says that the mitzvah molchama, this is about 8 or 10 lines down from the top, mitzvah noheges al atzibur, af ledas hasmag bizman hazeh. When the smag says that we have to wait till Mashiach, he's talking about this mitzvah called mechias amolik, not milchemes amolik, but mechias amolik, if you follow my language. What do I mean by mechias amolik as opposed to milchemes amolik? The Chovas Yachid. Maybe that's what the smag is talking about. The smag is saying that if you want to go around killing every single Amaleki outside the framework of Melchama, you got to wait. Again, it's not going to be good for a Moshe Big, but you got to wait until Mashiach comes, right? When the smag said that we have to wait till Mashiach, he was not talking about Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek. Again, leave out the word Lashem for a moment, but I'm just using that as a password to convey the idea of a Chovas Tzibur of Milchama. That mitzvah Milchama would apply even Bizman Hazeh. So what was the Radbaz's question on the Smag, which he called a TKO, he called it a Tufta? How could Shaul be commanded in the mitzvah Milchama against Amalek even Bizman Hazeh? The Smag says the mitzvah Amalek only applies when? After Mashiach comes. The answer is, the Smag was referring to the Chovas Yachid. The Chovas Yachid has to be postponed until Mashiach comes. Again, we're going to have to see about David HaMelech, right? But we'll get back to that. But if that be the case, then even the Smag would agree that as far as the mitzvah Milchama is concerned, the mitzvah Milchama against Amalek applies even Bizman Hazeh. We don't have to wait till Mashiach. So let's take the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, B'sholosh mitzvahs nistabel em yisro b'knisosam la'aretz. One of his lahach rizaro shal Amalek. And the kasha is, it doesn't say a word about the Mashiach. Apparently that mitzvah is applicable even Bizman Hazeh. What mitzvah is the Gemara in Sanhedrin addressing? When it says that first we appoint a king, and then the king takes the people of Israel out to battle, we're talking about the Mitzvah Melchama. Ein Achinami, that Mitzvah Melchama will apply as soon as we get a Melech up after we entered into the land. We're not going to wait for the Mashiach. And even the Smag would agree that. And therefore, Shaul HaMelech, insofar as he was leading the people into battle against Amalek, that was a Mitzvah Melchama, and that would apply, even according to the Smag, even Bisman Hazeh, and therefore the Radban says no objection against the Smag. The Smag says the Mitzvah Mechias Amalek only applies after Mashiach comes. He's talking about the Chovas Yachin to obliterate any Zecher of Amalek. And that Mitzvah will be postponed until Mashiach. Now at this point, he has a brilliant diyuk in the Hagos Maimonides. Again, let's remember that the Rambam in Mishneh Torah quotes the mitzvah of destroying Amalek twice. Once in Perek Aleph, when the Rambam is talking about the three mitzvahs that are incumbent upon Klal Yisrael when they enter into the land. First to appoint a melech, and then to go out and battle against Amalek, then to destroy, and then to build the Beis HaMikdash. All that is in the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Milchus Molochim. What does that Gos Maimonides say in Perek Aleph? Nothing. Now we fast forward to Perek Hei, Milchus Molochim. And if you take a look on the top of your page, Reishon Yud Gimel, that Gos Maimonides in Perek Hei makes the following comment. The mitzvah zu Lo Naga ad Yemos HaMashiach. In other words, the Agos Maimonides takes the Shita of the Smag and he pushes it into the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, as if to say that the Rambam in Mishneh Torah agrees with the Smag and we have to wait till Mashiach. Now, there's something very strange here. Why, if the Agos Maimonides insisted that the Rambam accepted the Smag, and the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek is postponed, it's suspended until Mashiach, why didn't he make this comment in Perek Aleph Mihilchus Molochim? And the answer is that the Hagos Maimonides holds that the Rambam is like the Chinuch, that there are two mitzvahs. Again, we had a diuk before that the Rambam omitted the Chovas Yochin and Halacha Hei in Perek Hei when he got to Milchemes Amalek. We're going to get back to that diuk in just a minute if you can hold your horses. But now we're assuming that the Rambam, like the Chinuch, postulates two mitzvahs of Mechias Amalek. One is a Chovas Milchama on the Tzibur, and the other is a Chovas Yochin. And he says the following: if you assume that the Rambam accepted the Chinuch, hook, line, and sinker, that there are two mitzvahs in Amalek, then we can differentiate between Perek Hei of Hilchus Molochim and Perek Aleph Mihilchus Molochim. How so? In Perek Aleph, the Rambam is talking about the Melech going out to battle against Amalek. And he's codifying the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Amud Beis. What kind of mitzvah of Amalek is that? Mitzvah Melchama incumbent upon the Tzibur. But take a look in Perek Hei. The Rambam in Perek Hei says in the Halacha Dalet that the mitzvah of destroying the seven nations applies to every single individual Kanani that appears in front of any individual Jew. You got to kill him, otherwise you violate the law of Los Chayei Kol Neshama. The very next word at the end of Halacha Dalet, the first word in Halacha Gimel, in Halacha Hei, which is the Rambam of Mechias Amalek, is the word V'chein. Now, I'm very excited about this because Rav Soloveitchik used to train us in general to read the Rambam meticulously, but there was one word that Rav Soloveitchik was in love with in the Rambam, and that was the word V'chein. You know, if you had all the works of Rav Soloveitchik, again, he didn't publish much in his lifetime, but let's assume you did a word search on the word V'chein, it would appear over and over again, because every time the Rav saw the word V'chein in the Rambam, he got very excited about it. So, for example, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but in the Rambam's introduction to Hilchas Brachos, after the Rambam tells you about a mitzvah, or what's called a birchas hanenim, and the Rambam says, also lenos menolam azeh chiyavarech, the next word is v'chein lifnei kol mitzvahs chayiv levarech. So the Rambam has a whole theory that a birchas hamitzvah, no less than a birchas hanenim, is a birchas hamatir, that you're not allowed to do a mitzvah without a bracha. Anyway, I'm just pointing out that the word V'chein is one of those, like, you know, magical code words in the Rambam. up. So in Halacha Dalid, the Rambam establishes vis-a-vis the Zayin Amimim that the Zechovus Yochid to kill every single member of the Zayin Amimim. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam opens up by saying V'chein mitzvah saseh li'abed zechra molek is milosha v'chein. This you'll see about 10 lines down on page Reishit Gimel. Mashma techad dino lehu l'chavayil. Otherwise the Rambam wouldn't have said the word v'chein. It's a very misleading, ambiguous term, unless the Rambam is trying to tell you that whatever I saw, whatever I formulated in the previous Halacha Dalet with regard to the Zayin Amim applies here in Halacha Hey with regard to Amalek. So therefore it comes out the following. In Perek Aleph Mihilchos, Mihilchos Melachim, the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah of Melchama that's incumbent after we appoint a Melech, and the Melech has to go out and destroy Amalek. That mitzvah applies even Bizman Azeh. Then we get to Perkei, where the Rambam has the word v'chein, implying that there's a mitzvah of destroying Amalek v'toras mechias Amalek, even outside the framework of a melchama. And just like in the case of Zayin Amin, if you saw one of those Knanim and you didn't kill him, you violated the law of Lo Sechai Kol Meshom, so too with regard to Amalek, if you didn't kill him, that individual, outside the framework of melchama, then you violate the mitzvah of Timcha Zecha Amalek. Here's where the Agos Marmonius woke up, and he points out that that mitzvah is only mitzvah noeges b'yimos HaMashiach, because here's where the Rambam with the word v'chein is codifying the chovas yachid of melchama samolek, meaning outside the framework of melchama, and with regard to the chovas yachid, that chovas yachid could only apply after Yimos HaMashiach. So it means the following, that when the Torah introduces the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze, he says the Smag, V'hoya Baniach Hashem Elokech Lecha, when are we going to address the Yochid and say you can knock off HaMolek? That's only when we're absolutely secure, when we've destroyed all the adversaries that surround the people of Israel, the 80 million of them. Or if you add Europe, I mean, it's probably, you have to double the number, right? Right? Okay, this is, yeah, I'm overstepping my bounds here, but the EU has not been very friendly, and certainly not the United Nations. But whatever the number of enemies we have, it's a pretty heavy number, you know. Not Manchester, there they love the Jews, but outside of Manchester. And British anti-Semitism is about as old as the people of Israel themselves. But anyway, so what we have here is an idyllic situation. Mamish, we're living in Shangri-La. Okay, now the Torah introduces a mitzvah that's incumbent on the Yachid, and that's Zecher Amalek. Zecher Amalek means that everybody has to get involved in killing Amalek and blotting out their memory. And if this be the case, Rabosai, then it's possible that we begin to understand, I think this was Phil was hinting at this before, the mitzvah to destroy the behemos of Amalek. Oh. Where does Rashi introduce the mitzvah to destroy the behemos of Amalek? Anybody remember? We said it about an hour ago. In Parshas Ki Teitze. Parshas Ki Teitze, if we assume that Rashi agrees with the Smag, is talking about Yemos HaMashiach. There the mitzvah has nothing to do with Melchama. The mitzvah is blot out the memory of Amalek. Says Rashi, Afilu Miyolel V'Adzokin, Afilu Rachel, Afilu Behema, whatever he says over there, you'll read the Rashi. It means that within the framework of the mitzvah HaYachid, to destroy Amalek, it means not just to destroy the physical bodies of the Amalekim, of what we call Zer Amalek, but to blot out anything that might be associated with Amalek and remind us of Amalek, including the animals. And that's the mitzvah that's going to emerge and be activated after Vayom Benichacha, meaning after Mashiach comes. And that's the Chiyuv, Rashi says, to kill all the behemoths. So that's only post Mashiach. Now let's go back to Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech is pre-Mashiach, not post-Mashiach. So now Rashi has a problem. Because what's going on over here? The Pasuk says, Shmuel commands Shaul to destroy the animals. Wait a minute. We're talking about the Mitzvah Melchama. Rashi's shita is that within the framework of the mitzvah chama is only to destroy the Amalekim. If we were talking about after Mashiach, then we would add another dimension, namely the Chovas Yachid of Timcha Zecher Amalek. But now we're only in Milchama Lashem Lamalek Midar Dar, meaning the Mitzvah Milchama. Why is Shaul Amalek getting a tzivui to kill the animals? Does everybody see where Rashi is? You know, Vas bothered Rashi. Somebody wrote a book, What Bothers Rashi? So what bothered Rashi that they have to introduce Kishuv into the parsha of Shmuel and Shaul? The answer is because if this mitzvah is the mitzvah that the Gemara is talking about in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf, namely the Chovas Melchama, that Chovas Melchama is to destroy the Amalekim within the framework of a Melchama. That's what Shmuel is commanding Shaul. Why then is he obligated to kill the animals? The killing the animals belongs to the blotting out the memory of Amalek. And that mitzvah only applies within the framework of Parshas Ki Teitse as a Yachid, and that has to be postponed. Again, all this is making a leap of faith if we assume Rashi holds like the Smag until Mashiach shows up. So it doesn't have any application to Shmuel. So why is Shmuel telling Shaul to destroy the animals?
They're people.
The animals are really people. You think they're animals, but they're really people. So let's just summarize. You know, this is for me, not for you, because I have to put this all together in my brain. Yeah, we still have a cash from David Amel with the Nara Maleki, because that was before Mashiach, and that was the Chovas Yachid, and we say that that was the source for the Sefer Achinuch, that in addition to the Chovas Melchama is the Chovas Yachid. Wait a minute, that's before Mashiach. Yeah, that doesn't fit into this. I think he's going to address that, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I don't see it right now, so we'll have to be patient. But I think he addresses this. But at this point, what we have is the following. Wait a second. So now the parsha of Bishalach, where it says Milchama Hashem ba'amolik Milchama, that's already the Chovas Tzibur as a Milchama within the framework of battle. And that applies even Bizman Azeh, and Shmuel commanded Shaul to go ahead and win that battle, fight that battle, and fulfill the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek. So now what's the question? Which word in the parashat of Shalach makes no sense?
Lashem.
What do you mean Lashem? So take a look in the bottom right. He quotes the Brisker Rav, Pilei Plug. The Brisker Rav says that why does it say Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek? Says the Brisker Rav, again, this is what's called Ksavim Amiuchasim. We don't know if the Brisker Rav actually said this. There's a whole bunch of stuff from the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav that we're not sure about the authenticity of it. I happen to have known the individual, he's no longer alive, who actually publicized these Ksavim. Okay, I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't say. In any event, getting back to our discussion here, so the Brisker Rav is claimed to have said the following. Why does it say Milchama Hashem Ba'amalek? That there's one mitzvah in the Torah which is unique against the other 612 and requires a Navi. The Navi is the prerequisite for this mitzvah being applicable at any period of time is Nevuah. Again, it's not the same as the Smag who says we have to wait till Mashiach. And we're going to assume now, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that there's a mitzvah Milchemes Amalek even before Mashiach comes. However, it's Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek. What's Lashem? Alpi Nevuah. We need a Navi to tell us that now's the right moment to fulfill this mitzvah. So let's read it inside. Kachu Dino Shel Milchama Zu. Now, in order to appreciate those words, you have to know that the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek fits under two categories. There's the mitzvah itself, and then there's Dinei HaMitzvah. And one of the dinim of the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek is that we have to wait until we get the word from a Navi. And I was thinking to myself that this chiddush, again, I don't know, it's attributed to the Brisker Rav, is very similar to what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik writes in his article on Shmuel and Shaul with regard to Amalek, because he says there, Pakod if kadeti as Eshar Osilcha Amalek, that the word Pakod means that in order to activate this mitzvah, you must have a divine revelation. Why? Because you never know for sure at any point in history as to whether the Amalekim are
still around.
Not still around, but are they... What word am I looking for? Reverberate, not reverberating. What is it? When you have a certain behavior pattern and you repeat it, you know, we have any psychologists here in the audience? I'm sure in psychology is a word for that. When you have a certain behavior pattern and you simply repeat it, you know what I mean? That's called pakod pakadit.
Yeah, habitual.
It's like repeat offenders. I mean,
right, right. But again, here we're talking about later generations, so it's a little tricky. Usually repeat offenders refer to one person. You know, if he's addicted to drugs, you know, you could try to wean him off drugs, but he's always, you know, it's still in his system. He's habitual, you know. Dr. Chorsky, Rabbi Chorsky, you know, wrote a whole book on this because that's his field and his PhD, his expertise is on, undermining drug addictions. But I'm not talking about addiction in that sense. Maybe it's genetic addiction, if you want to call it that. But pakod pakadati means that what we're seeing today, and only a Navi can tell us this, is that the Amalekim are planning to kill us.
Predisposition.
It's the same Amalekim as old, as who attacked us when we left Mitzrayim. So that could only come through a revelation of a Navi. Again, that's not what the Brisker Rav is saying. The Brisker Rav is saying that amongst the dinim of Milchama, one of those dinim is that you have to wait till a Navi tells you it's time to, you know, we activate the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek. But that certainly satisfies a lot of the issues that we had over here, because if we're saying that the parsha of Bishalach applies even Bizman HaZeh, even according to the Smag, and that's because it says Milchama, then we wonder why Lashem, you know, the mitzvah in Ki Teitzeh is already a Chovas Yachid and has nothing to do with Milchama. For that of obliterating Amalek and its memory, we need to wait till Mashiach, and we've already, you know, settled everything, we're secure. So if you take a look at the pasuk, at the paragraph that starts with Lefi Zeh, he says the following, that the mitzvah Milchama, which is derived from the pasuk in Bishalach, and there it says what? It says Milchamol Hashem Amalek. That only applies to killing the Amalekim. It has no application to killing the animals of Amalek. Correct? And therefore Rashi, I'm sorry, and this is certainly true according to Rashi, who says that only in the context of Ki Teitzeh, where the Torah introduced the mitzvah of not Milchemes Amalek, but Mechias Amalek, right, to destroy their memory, that's when we have to destroy the animals. But if the mitzvah is only Milchama, then we fight against the nation. We never found any source or basis for fighting against and killing the animals of that nation. So therefore Rashi had a problem. If the mitzvah that was given to Shaul before Mashiach is the mitzvah Milchama, and that mitzvah admittedly applies even before Mashiach, as we saw in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but Gimel mitzvah Tavu, then why is Shaul being commanded to destroy the animals? And that's where Rashi comes up with his amazing chiddush here. He pulls a kishuf out of his hat to tell you that the reason why we're killing, why Shmuel is commanding Shaul to kill the behemoth is because of the kishuf, but it's really the mitzvah Milchama against the physical ummah, the human beings that make up Amalek. And if you take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Aleph, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Aseh Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek. Right? Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, codifying the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek, mentions nothing about obliterating their memory. Because the Rambam here is talking about the Mitzvah Molchama, which is incumbent upon the Melech after we appoint a Melech. Now we get to Perek Hey, and all of a sudden the Rambam changes his language. He says, Mitzvah Esei, not Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek, but La'abed Zeker Amalek. Why does the Rambam change his language to La'abed? And the answer is because La'abed includes much more than Zaro Shel Amalek. It encompasses not just the physical members of Amalek, the human beings, but it encompasses anything that could somehow remind us of Amalek, you know, bring back the memories of Amalek. We have to destroy everything that could be associated with Amalek, including the animals. So the Rambam has to change his language here. We're not interested in Zaro Shel Amalek, but La'abed Zecher Amalek. Do you see those two differences in the language of the Rambam? This is very sharp. In Perek Aleph, he speaks about Lahachris. And number two, he speaks about Zaro Shel Amalek. In Perek Hey, he speaks about not Lahachris, but La'abed. And he speaks about not Zaro Shel Amalek, but Zecher Amalek. Those two differences can be justified.
It's a start saying the Abed Zera Amalek.
Ah, so he has Zaro Shel Amalek. So what we have to do is we have to check. Check in the back, all the way in the back, there's something called Shinui Nischos. So check that out. But you're right. I mean, apparently there's an issue about the Girsa.
No, but it says the word Zera.
No, I'm saying if it says Zera and Perkei, we're in deep trouble. Then this whole piece falls apart.
It says Zera.
No, so I'm just saying, look in the Shinui Nischos, because he. No, I'm saying if you look in the Shinui, because he's quoting. What does it say here? Zecher Amalek instead of Zera Amalek. So there must have been such a gears. I don't think he's chashed in inventing such a gears. So the last
Shinui Nischos here.
Right, but the real Shinui Nischos is all the way in the back, because there he goes through 500 different manuscripts of the Rambam. It's an amazing piece of research. I'm a big fan of the Frankel edition of the Rambam for many reasons. One of them is because of the Shinui Nischos in the back of the book. So he has the word Zecher. And Rabbi Sachlewicz is right in pointing out that we, in the Frankel edition, we don't have the word Zecher, we have the word Zera. Which means that his whole thesis falls apart. I don't mean the whole thesis falls apart, but at least this element, the diuk, and I'm not chashov, I don't want to tell you that everything we did fell like a deck of cards, you know, it was stacked there. He says, because the Rambam in Perek Aleph is codifying the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we're talking about a Chovas Mulchama that's incumbent upon the Tzibur. And that only applies to Zera Shel Amalek. But in Perek Hey, where he's talking about the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, there it's La'aved, because we're talking about the Chiyuv that's incumbent upon the Yochid, that includes the Behema Shel Amalek. So Rabosai, let me ask you the following question that occurs to my mind, and then we'll see if we can, before Mincha, we can fit in at least one more paragraph here. You have Reish Yudalei, right?
Yeah.
So let me... What?
You quote some
Zecher. Okay. So again, you know, if we had time, which right now I'm a little pressed for time, but we would have to see if we can come to some conclusion as to which text in the Rambam is reliable. Again, you'll never really know. There are so many different issues on the text in the Rambam, but usually you can research it and come to some conclusion. It's never a convinced, it's never an absolute conclusion. But
well, the new edition that came out, that we follow the Mishnah Torah, claims that they have the best.
Right. See if they have Zera or Zecher. If they have the word Zecher. So look, if we're going to read this Rambam, Rabbi Sachnowitz publicly, then we're going to have to say Zera and Zecher. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Zecher and Zecher. You know, but here it's
truthfully. I mean, if you look at the Rambam carefully,
yeah.
It doesn't say in Kitase about killing Amalek.
Right. It only says
only Zecher.
Okay. So that's why if the Rambam here would be Zecher, I'd be very happy. I'd be a happy camper. Just saying,
and the whole halacha is talking about Kriyas HaTorah and remembering that. First of all, you're commanded not to remember, and then there's a mitzvah every year to remember. That's right. Problematic by itself.
Right.
And then it fits in very well with the previous Rambam, because the last four words, why don't we kill the Kenanim today?
Right, he says, Kvar Ovad
Zichron. So too, by Amalek, they don't exist anymore because some Chariv came and Mavabel on them.
Right.
But we have a separate mitzvah of Zecher, right, of remembering what they did. Then the Rambam fits in very well.
Okay, so you know what, Rabbi? I'm going to have to, you're saying a belt of things that I have to think about. Let me put it in the back burners. But at least one thing I'm excited about, Rabbi, that you seem to be inclined towards the Girsa of Zecher. And that's good news. Why? Because then we see a very sharp contrast between the language of the Rambam Perek Aleph and the Rambam Perek He, which means that the Rambam Perek Aleph is talking about a mitzvah shenoheges bizman hazeh. Again, we may need a Navi to reveal that, but it's the mitzvah of Melchama, and that's against what? Zera Amalek. In Perek He, the Rambam switches his language to Zecher Amalek, because we want to remember and possibly destroy any Zecher of Amalek. In this context, we're talking about a Chovas Yachid. We're no longer talking about a Melchama. Now, I just wanted to share with you an idea that crossed my mind, and tell me if I'm crazy. What would be if we had a Zera Molek who was not Zera Molek? Now, how could I say A and not B at the same time? What if you'd have a descendant of Amolek who technically is not called Zera Molek? This is what you call a crossbreed, an intermarriage. What if you'd have an intermarriage between an Amoleki and a non-Amaleki? And it could go in two directions. Either the male, right, the husband is an Amaleki and the female is not, or the female is the Amaleki, Alekit, and the husband is not. So you could imagine the following possibility. You might have, in the next generation, someone who is an Amaleki from his mother's side, but not from his father's side. And technically, although biologically he is an Amaleki, but he's not an Amaleki according to the halacha, because he's not Zera Amalek. Zera Amalek depends on the father. And I'm thinking to myself, herein would lie the difference between the Rambam Perek Aleph of Melchama and the Rambam Perek Hei of Mechia Zecher Amalek. So if I have a grandson of Amalek who comes through the maternal Amalek, then he's no different than a behemoth of Amalek. In other words, within the framework of Ibud Zecher Amalek, not Zera Amalek, we'd have to destroy him. Again, we have to wait for Mashiach for that. But in the context of Perek Aleph, where we're talking about the Melech going out and fighting the Melchama against Amalek, that's only against Zera Amalek, and this person is not Zera Amalek. Does that fascinate you? It fascinates me. Anyway, I was trying to get you excited about it, but you know, I never know when you don't get excited about what I say. Is it because you didn't hear what I said, you didn't care about what I said, or I didn't get you passionately excited about what I said?
The Yichus is only to the father.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying. If you talk about a mitzvah Zera Amalek, this guy whose father is not an Amaleki, he's a Frenchman, right? Whatever he is, he would not be included, right, in the mitzvah of Milchama. Why? Because the mitzvah of Milchama in Perek Aleph is a mitzvah of Zera Amalek. He's not Zera Amalek. Why? Because his father is not an Amaleki. But if you fast forward to the Rambam Perek Hey, when the Rambam is talking about not Zera Amalek, but according to Begiris that we would like to prefer, and that is La'abed, not Zera Amalek, but Zecher Amalek, and the Rambam is going to include killing the animals over here, because the Rambam holds that if an animal of Amalek is floating around, you're going to say, oh, that Gamal belonged to Joe Amaleki. So in such a case, if his mother is an Amalekite, even though his father is not, he's technically not Zera Amalek, but it would be included in Zecher Amalek, right? Because this animal was his mother's animal, let's say. You know, it's his mother's cat. You know, his mother's pet cat, and his mother's an Amalekite. So maybe under the law of Ibud Amalek, it would not fall shy of Behemoth Amalek. I'm fascinated by that question. In any event, let's just see if we can fit in one more section here. We're on the bottom of Reish Yud Gimel, and we're about to turn to the end of this handout, which is Reish Yud Daled. And did you guys receive today's handout that Phil prepared?
Yeah,
I'm going to ask you to return that to me, unless you're going to be here in Shia tomorrow. But if you're not planning to be here tomorrow because you're fasting, or because you never come on Tuesdays, whatever it is, then please return that to me so that the guys who do show up tomorrow won't look at me and say, Rabbi, this is not fair because I didn't get the handout. Okay? So what it says here is that Rashi says in Shmuel that there was no mitzvah lahachrim behema samolik. Right? In other words, what we saw in Rashi and Parshas Ki Teitzeh, that the mitzvah is to destroy even the animals, that doesn't reflect itself in Rashi ala Tanakh, where Rashi says that there's no mitzvah of destroying the behemos except for the fact of shinui atzma lebehemos, the kishuv. Is the answer is because if Rashi holds like the smag and bisman hazeh, there is a chiyuv of milchemes amolik, but there's no chiyuv until Mashiach comes of mechias zecher amolik. Therefore, that unique command to destroy the animals of amolik under the law of mechias zecher amolik is only going to become relevant when? After Mashiach comes. How could Shmuel command Shaul to destroy the animals of Amalek? That's only a Chovas Melchama, and the Chovas Melchama in coming to the Tzibra is only vis-a-vis Zerah Amalek. Well, the animals don't come under Zerah Amalek. The answer is that paradoxically they do come under Zerah Amalek because of this Kishuv. Is that's where Rashi had to come up with this very creative idea that the animals of Amalek are Amalekim themselves, and therefore there's a mitzvah milchama that encompasses even destroying the animals of Amalek. All right, let's see what we could get. What we could get in under the bell. Yeah. Oh, so the Mechilta says at the end of Parashas Bishalach that David HaMelech. Oh, this was the issue about David HaMelech. That Nizkar Biosa Shah, he remembered at this moment what Moshe Rabbeinu was told, that if one of the nation, one of the members of the nations of the world comes to Nizkar, you could be Miskarim with the exception of Zeresh al Amalek. Don't accept Zeresh al Amalek. And then David declares Dom Chal Roshcha, because you admitted that you are Mizera Amalek and David had him killed. We see clearly from this Mechilta that even after Gerus of an Amaleki, that Gerus is not valid, and the mitzvah of destroying Amalek still applies, even though he underwent Gerus. So now we have a definite issue over here. Why? Because as I said at the outset, there's a Gemara in Masechta Gittin that tells us that the Bnei Bonav of Haman are studying Torah in no better of a place than Bnei Brak. I don't mean BB, the Prime Minister. Right? So how could that be if there's no such thing as recognizing Gerus of an Amaleki? So even if I assume that the offspring, the descendants of Haman, would have undergone Gerus, but that Gerus is not to be recognized. That's why David HaMelech had this individual killed. So how is it they're studying in Bnei Brak? But the answer is that this is before Mashiach. Now, before Mashiach, we have no mitzvah of milchama. So in terms of Zerah Molech, let's say the grandson of Haman would have to be killed within the framework of what? Of milchama. That's called Zerah Molech. But in the framework of the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech, right, of Zecher HaMolech, that's going to have to wait until Mashiach. So he wants to suggest the following. Let's see, maybe he'll... Okay, well, one second. Let me not try to anticipate what he's going to say. Is that telling us his mincha? He says the following. Haman was Mizera Amalek, correct?
Yeah.
Oh. So now...
Spiritually. I mean, we don't talk...
Wait, just give me 1 minute. I'm sorry, because I just want to say the following. That if we're talking about Zera Amalek, so then in the framework of Mulchama, we'd have to go battle against Zera Amalek. But let's assume we're talking about individual members of the descendants of Amalek who are Mizgayer. Now we're going to say, well, we can't recognize that Gerus within the framework of a Yachid. But that's only true after Mashiach comes. L'fi amavur nira d'yesh lam d'kol hanach dina d'ein makablin ger Amaleki. What does that mean that we cannot except the Ger Amaleki? That's because of the Chovas Milchama, and that Chovas Milchama applies even to an individual Amaleki who underwent Gerus, because we don't recognize that Gerus. He's still Zer Amalek, and he still has to be killed within the framework of what? Of a Milchama. Avol matzmach mas mitzvah de mechias Amalek hamuta al yechidim, which means that's a mitzvah that's only going to apply when? after Mashiach comes, now it doesn't apply. Is there Mekabelin or some Gerim? We can accept them as individual Gerim. Again, if we're assuming that the Mitzvah Melchama is not... Again, let's say the Mitzvah Melchama depends upon Lashem, right? Melchama Lashem, so we need another. Now, what we have is, with regard to the Bnei Badim Shalhama, Mimanafshach, there's no problem in his Gerim. Why? As far as the Mitzvah Melchama is concerned, there is no Mitzvah Melchama because we don't have Lashem, we don't have another. Ella, what, you're going to tell me that we have a Mitzvah blotting out the memory of Amalek? The answer is, that Mitzvah is not Chal until Mashiach comes. So therefore, no matter how you slice the cake, you'll always come to the same conclusion that we can accept this Amaleki as a Ger Bizman Azeh as long as there's no Mitzvah Melchama.
You're going to have to kill him.
Well, no. What we're saying is that we're going to accept his Gerus. In other words, his Gerus, because this entire loch of excluding his Gerus is only applicable when there's a Mitzvah Melchama. During a period of time in which there's no Mitzvah Melchama, there is no undermining or canceling his game. So okay, we rushed it a little bit. If you have a chance, you'll finish this up. All right.